Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat is daf Tetvav, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, and we were holding right at the top after the understanding of the different stages of Yadayim, from early on Shammai VeHillel, and then to Talmidei Shammai VeHillel, but starting all the way back at Shlomo HaMelech, which was in terms of Kachim, and the modern day we spoke about as well. Now, let's get back to the original discussion of Yud Ches Dofer. Gufa. Omri Yud Amr Shmuel, Shmona Asar Gazru, Bishmona Asar Nechleku. So there were 18 Gezeras, and there were 18 further Machlokas. But the problem is, it says in Ebraita that there were 18 things that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel Hushvu, that they agreed on. True. Bo'ba Yom Nechleku, Ulamachar Hushvu. In the end, now again, there's many different ways of learning this. We've been doing it the way the Rambam has been understanding, which means that there's three completely different issues here. One is the things that everybody agreed on, which were the first 18 things mentioned in the Mishnayos in our Perek. One were the 18 Gezeras were over there. They outnumbered and overruled Hillel. And one was the remainder of the Perek, where we have 13 different machlokas in, and the Gemara brings a brisa of another 5, and that these numbers are not interrelated. The other way of learning it is the way Rashi learns it, that we're talking about only one thing, the Shmona Asar Davar. The two Mishnayos before about the Or HaNer were part of those 18, so it has a different way of analyzing the 18 than the Rambam does. And the way in which it says is that first there was a machlokas, then they outnumbered him, and then when he rethought it, he saw that they were right. So that's Hushvu, which is a little bit weak. And then we have also some of the other Rishayim that have only two things, the Shmona Asar, and then the fact that they were Nechlak, but that they were Hushvu on those things on the next day. That's the way Meiri brings it. But as I say, we've been learning the Rambam. It's really very beautiful because it's Kelo, the entire Perek, so wonderfully. Gufa. Omer Avuna. So when we were talking yesterday, we said it can't be that Shammai and Hillel themselves were part of the Yud Ches Dofer in person, because there were only three places where Shammai and Hillel argued. What exactly are those three places now that we've brought it up? And the truth is that these are all Mishnayos that are brought in Masechet Idyot, which specifically discuss the places where Shammai and Hillel were chaylik. So this is really rather repetition. It's only being brought in over here in terms of understanding the interrelationships between Shammai VeHillel, which, as I mentioned to you earlier, are important in terms of Shabbos and in terms of Erevin, because they redefine the approach to humanity in the universe as a whole, whether it's Neach Loila Adam Libarais or Shaloila Libarais, and that changes the general way in which we deal with halachas as Shammai's approach or Hillel's approach. Because of that, the Gemara seeks to put together all of the inyanim of Shammai VeHillel here, even though the three Mishnayos that we're about to bring are all quotes, really, from Masechet Idyot. So these are the three famous machlokas, and according to Shammai, the shiur of challah is taken from one kav. Of a kav is 4 lug, and it's taken from one kav, which means a total of 24 beitzim. Whereas Hillel says, no, you don't take off challah until you got an awful lot of dough. You have to have actually 2 kabin. Now, it turns out that the machlokas over there has to do with what is the arisotechem mentioned in the Torah. Is arisotechem the amount that you have for a meal? Or is arisotechem the amount that you have of the man, which is enough for 2 meals? So obviously, if you hold that it's enough for 1 meal, then you're going to be machmir the way Shammai was machmir. And the Chachomim say, lo kidivrei zeh v'lo kidivrei zeh, neither of them are correct. It's actually a kav umechza, which is chayav b'chala. In other words, 6 lugin are chayav in chala. And over there, it's also, you have to take a lot of things into consideration to work all of this out, because the fact is that the Gemara is interchanging over here between three completely different systems of measurements, one of which is the shiurim in the Midbar, which were called Midborios. The other is the shear that was later added by a sixth, which is really a fifth in our terms, 1/5 from within, which added to the outside equals 1/6 of the total. And then later on, those became known as the Yushalmiot. And later on, there was an additional inflation that caused the addition of another sixth, which is again a fifth, which is called the Tziporium. So the Tzipori weights and measures. Okay, so we're not going to go into this now. Obviously, this is a brief review, daf. So because of that, it comes out that it was initially a kav v'mechza. Then when they had an inflation in Tzipori, mishigdilu amidot, they said that actually it's five rivaim in modern terms, that is, in their modern terms, that would be chayev. And that actually translates that if you take the amount of the Omer, which is the shear that we're speaking about in the Man, and that was six Lugin Yerushalmiot, if you now change it in the new system of Tzipori, we have to divide by 1.2, it now becomes five Lugin, because it was an additional sixth. Okay. Rabbi Yossi, who holds in general that there was a change in the size of the eggs that you have to measure in broader Midas. So he says, well, that's not quite true, because you need to get another little bit, and it's Hamisha Va'od Chayavim. So basically, Lahalacha, you need really another 5%. The Idach, the other Mishnah in Idias, is that Hillel says, Melohin Mayim She'uvim Poslim Et HaMikvah. Now, this has to do with the question of the fact, as everybody knows, you need Arboim Lug of water that is kosher for tefillah in order to have a kosher mikvah. If you have less than Arboim Lug, you can't be tevil in it. However, suppose you had less than Arboim Lug and you poured in a little bit of Mayim She'uvim. Now you want to add an additional amount of water so that you will have Arboim Lug of Mayim that are kosherim for the mikvah. Here is where we have the machlokas, because if there's even a little bit, which is called the kurtov, that is missing from the full shear of Arboim Sa'a, a little bit of water that is Mayim She'uvim, how much that little bit is the subject of this machlokas, it will pass on the mikvah permanently, so it won't help to add Mayim that are kosherim for the mikvah. So according to this Mishnah, Hillel quoted the Lashon of Shemaiah v'Avtalion, as it was his Rebbe, as Melo Hin. Now, Hin is not actually the way that we would normally talk about the Shiurim, because a Hin is the way they spoke about it in the Torah, but not the Rabbanan didn't use the word Hin. The Gemara is going to explain why. The Mishnah will explain why. And this equals actually three Kaf, which is 12 Lugin. But the reason I'm saying it like this is because Chayav Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo. A person says Hillel, even though it sounds weird that I say Hin, but that's the way I was taught by Shmaya Vavtalia. Shammai Omer, Shammai says, no, actually, it takes Tisha Kabin, which is three times as much. So then that would mean that in this case, Shammai is actually being Meka. V'chachomim Omrim, neither one is right. And actually, it turned out that there were two guardian Mishar HaHashpash Yerushalayim. So there were two weavers, and a weaver is a very, very low-class profession, or at least it was in those days. And Shar HaHashpot is a very low-class place to live. I mean, you wouldn't want to live in a dung gate yourself either, I imagine. And because of that, we quote it specifically from them because, as we learn out over there, Melamed, that even no matter what a person's matzav is, he should never be misbatel from the Beis HaMedrash, because over here, these two people that happened to hear that Shmaya Vavtalia changed their mind later on, and they said, instead of the Shir of Hin that Hillel had said, they were made that Shmaya Vavtalia had changed it to Shlosha Lugin Mayim She'uvim, that's all that it takes is three lug, and it turns out that the Chachomim were Kimo Estivreim against Hillel and against Shammai, which is amazing. So then that means that you see that there's no class issues when it comes to Torah. The person is learning, doesn't matter where he's from, and it doesn't matter what his darga is, he's able to end up being Mekayim Torah in Klal Yisrael. The third place is also brought in.
The janitor of Achinoah, who was such a
bucky,
and he was the janitor.
Yeah, there was also the janitor in Ponovich. He used to know all the Rambam, both the Rambam Mishneh Torah and the Rambam Pirush HaMishnah is Baal Peh. So anybody who needed a mucker before they had any of these programs would go over to the janitor. And but of course, he was a Taimani. V'idach, the third one was the one that we just finished recently when we finished Masechet Nida, that Shamay Omer Kol Anashim Dayan Sh'atam, that all women that have a re'ia were not choshesh to be metame them retroactively, even the gabe dinim of kochim. And Hillel says, no, actually they are tame until from the point at which they have a re'ia all the way back to the last time that they check themselves over, v'afilu liyamim harbe, even if it might have been 3 weeks ago. V'chachamim amrim lo k'divrei zeh v'lo k'divrei zeh. We don't paskin like either. We paskin that there's a 24-hour period where we're metame retroactively. Of course, this is only nogea tyres. It's not nogea husbands at all. And whichever one comes first, either 24 hours or from the last time that she checked herself, Bipir lepkida would be memayat ayat be'et le'et. Okay. Ask the Gemara, are there really only three machlokas in Shammai and Hillel? V'yaika, how about the famous machlokas? Hillel says you do semicha when you're bringing a korban on Yontev, which l'maisa, unless you're old, you're allowed to bring a korban yachid on Yontev in general, which we don't paskin, even though there is such a man, the Yomar, would mean the korbanos that the yachid would bring in this chiyuvim on Yontev. So it would be his carbon ria, let's say, right? So on an individual carbon, you need to be somech. So somech means you press down on the carbon with the full weight of your body. And Hillel says that you're mechuyev to do smicha on Yontev. And Shammai says, no, do smicha before Yontev instead of being somech on a bal chai. Shri Hillel says, you can't do that because it's tekef v'smicha shchita. It says v'somach v'shachat. Anyway, so how come we don't include that as the fourth? Because Kikam Ravuna, Ravuna said that there were three places where they argue. He meant with the whole force of the machlokas is between Shammai and Hillel. Over here, the machlokas about smicha, remember, started all the way at the beginning of the Zugais. Hillel and Shammai are the last of the Zugais, and the Gemara in Chagiga goes through all of the stages over generations. So this is not a specific machlokas, Hillel and Shammai. Okay, but there's another machlokas. How about Abotsa Legat? Shammai Omer Hukshar, Hillel Omer Lo Hukshar. So the question over there is a machlokas if you're harvesting grapes. Normally, of course, the halacha is that we are only machshir lekabel tuma if you want that liquid. So if you don't want the liquid, then remember the Torah says ki yitain. It's as if it's written ki yitain, even though it's pronounced ki yutan. And therefore, if you don't want it, it's not ki yitain, similar to you ki yutan. It's not going to be machshir lekabel tuma. Shammai says that since there are very often times where people will harvest grapes and put them into plastic bags, obviously in those days they had other kind of waterproofing, but if it would be put into some type of waterproof container, so then since you're being boats or specifically to take it to a gat to make wine, in the case where it's waterproof, you're perfectly happy that it got wet and there's a little bit of grape juice on it. You want to keep that grape juice anyway and pour it into the press. So because of that, it would have been kiyutan, similar to kiyutain. Because of that, Shammai says, we're always going to be makshir, somebody who's going to a wine press, even though right now it's dripping and it's getting lost and he would prefer it not to be there, we make a gezerah. Whereas Hillel says, lo hukshar. So how come we don't include that as a fourth machlokas? After Shammai explains his reasoning, Hillel had no response. We're talking about where the machlokas continued. Okay, getting back to the earlier gezeres. So we spoke about, and what you'll notice that what we've been doing over here gradually, and we're going to be getting to this much, much more as we go along, is we've been talking about the development of gezeres over time, how something began, and how it became more and more, but it was more and more chomer, more and more accepted, more and more expanded. And getting back now to those original early gezeros, which was the Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, back at the beginning of the Zugais, they were gozer tuma al eretz ha'amim ve'al klei zechuchit. So we have about that also a question, because now we're going to be using very strange terminology here. My suggestion is that we use this terminology because based on the entire idea of the Seder Olam over here, the Gemara is bringing these inyanim because it sees them as being specific responses to the upcoming Churma. And that these people were aware, the Gemara even explains elsewhere, how they were aware, but that these people were aware of the fact that the korban was due in a certain amount of time, and that because of that, they made these gezeros in terms of hachonais for changes that would be forthcoming. And of course, that very much belongs in the Seder of our perek, of the nature of hachana before something happens, to be ready for it. And because of that, the way that we refer to the rabbanon that we're asking were the ones who really made this gezera, those were the rabbanon of Shmonim Shana. So there was a group of gezeras that were made 80 years before the Churban, others that were made 40 years before the Churban. And this itself is part of our reference system. How do we talk about that? Well, because Rav Kahana gave over the whole following discussion that would be Shmuel b'Rav Yossi. He was ill, and they were afraid that we would forget his father was Rav Yossi, but Chalafto was the one who was Mesader Seder Elam, all of those brises. And Rabbi Yishmael had not taught over. He once in a while he would quote his father, but he did not give over the basic teachings of his father. They were afraid that he would die. And they sent him a message that Rebbe Amar Lanu Shnayim Shlosh Dvarim Shamarta Mishum Avicha. Take out the word Lanu because that destroys the whole meaning. Tell us some of the things that you had wanted to quote from your father. So Sholach Lahem, and obviously since his father was the one who had written, or was Besader Seder Elam, he undoubtedly assumed that they wanted to know those brises. So he said to them, Kach Omar Abba, 180 years before the Churban, Poshta Malchus HaRasha'a Yisrael, that's when Rome began their Shlita over Klal Yisrael, and Shmonim Shana Ad Shelo Charav HaBayis, 80 years before the Churban, they went to be Gezer Tuma Al Eretz HaAmim, that anybody who goes to Chutz La'aretz becomes Tameh, and they were Gezer Klei Zchuchit, that they should become Tameh, apparently is what it meant, and 40 years before the Churban, Sanhedrin took the extreme responsibility on themselves to leave the Lishkas Hagazis, and they moved to an area on the Harabayas, which was called Chanut or Chanuyot, because there were a lot of store faces there. In any event, I mean, the reason we know that the Gemara talks about, there were all kinds of strange signs that the Churban was coming that started 40 years before. So the Gemara in Yuma says that first of all, the doors started opening on their own to indicate that they're inviting you, no longer doors that are protecting. And that's when all of things like started going wrong. Never the things that they had relied on. There was no longer the nace of the chut changing colors on Yom Kippur, and the goral never came up at the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, and so on. So they realized things were bad. Anyway, these things were in response to that. And what, by the way, before we get to the question is obvious. Here it says Gezer Tuma L'Eretz HaAmim from the time of Yossi ben Yoezer. Here it says that there was the Rabbanan of the Shmonim Shana, and we're going to prove that that can't be the same. But, I mean, what's important about the fact of Sanhedrin taking this move away from the Lishkas Hagazis? What does that change? Says Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, it means that you cannot have any more dinim of knasot. You can only deal with mamon and not with knas. What? There's no din that a knas can only be judged when Bezdin is in the Lishkas Hagazis. You're getting confused. There is a din that knasot can only be judged by Dayani Mumchin who have smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way through the Dairas. But that's similar to a din of Sanhedrin, but it's not true that it requires presence in the Lishkas Hagazis. So Salka Daitach, Elaima, it means that they would be unable to be done dinei nefashot, and at this time society was started to fall apart. They believed that they weren't going to be able to actually handle anything properly. And remember that the idea of dinei nefashos, as we've explained many times, had nothing to do with actual enforcement. It had to do with structuring the moral hierarchy of society, because they never carried out the dinim of dinim nefashos almost once every 70 years. I mean, that's certainly not much of a deterrent. The point wasn't deterrent. So once it was not possible to structure morality, they just didn't want to make a joke out of Besdin. So they didn't want to deal with dinim nefashos. Okay, so now we got a contradiction. Was it the Rabbanan of the Shmonim Shana, or was it Yossi ben Yoezer? Now, if you try to tell me that actually, well, what's the contradiction? Maybe Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan were during the Shmonim Shana before the Churban. That's ridiculous because of Atanya. Actually, Hillel and the son of Hillel, Rabban Shimon, and his son, Rabban Gamliel, and his son, Shimon, which not to be confused with the later, after the Churban, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, they were Noyeg Nisiyutan 100 years before, starting with Hillel, 100 years before the bias was destroyed. And that means that if they were the last ones of the Zugot, Hillel was the last of the Zugot, Hillel and Shammai, so Yossi ben Yoezer, Yisraida, and Yossi ben Yochanan were way before that. So they couldn't possibly be the Rabbon of the Shmonim Shana. That's ridiculous. They were the first ones. So what's the answer? We have a contradiction. Is it they who made the Gezeres, or was it later? So what we could say is that maybe Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan were goes there originally to burn the gush, any solid piece of ground that was imported from the Chutz La'aretz, or obviously if it's in situ in Chutz La'aretz, they were goes there to burn a truma if something came into contact. The reason for this was because the Goyim did not care about where they buried people, and they furthermore did not mark where they buried people. And because of that, graves could easily be just plowed over all over the place. And therefore, they were choshesh that if you touch the ground, that you would come into contact with an etzem kisora, which is matame even ananakum. And therefore, there were goes there that maga on some level would be matame, but avira, but anything in the airspace that would, if you didn't come into actual contact with the ground, you're not even going to be tailor truma, meaning you'd be able to actually eat truma that was in the airspace. Otu rabbanu de shmonim shana, and they were gozer avira litlot, and they said, no, if truma comes into contact is in the air, it also, you don't burn it because it's not a vadai, but it's a suffix, and because of that, they were machber, not with the same level of chumrah. Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that it was one gezerah for Srefa? I thought Ilfa, remember we said Ilfa before, that Yadayim, Stam Yadayim, the original gezerah was to burn Truma, which is Mashma, only Yadayim, the original gezerah was to burn Truma, and nothing else. Now, this is a fascinating Gemara because of its implications. What it's implying is that it is necessary to stage gezerahs, generally speaking. In other words, it is impossible to go from one extreme to another when something was completely tahar at one point, and suddenly to say it's completely tame, even to the point of burning truma, we will not do that. So then that means that every gezerah has to take into consideration the amount of time that's necessary for the gezerah to become absorbed, incorporated, accepted, as the Rambam explains, and only then can you go ahead and add an additional, you can ratchet up the level of the chumrah, which itself is part of the whole concept of preparation for a situation that's coming. And it means people cannot prepare for things because they don't believe them. But if you gradually get them into a frame of mind where they can deal with issues, then over a period of time, you can actually get them to really be prepared for something. The current situation is a fine example. Anyway, so are you trying to tell me, therefore, that originally there was a gzera for Srefa that's against Ilfa, where only a daim was originally for Srefa, nothing else? We're not going to look. Ella, okay, so let's change it. Let's say it was ratcheted up in a different way. Yossi ben Yoezer, and Yossi ben Yochanan, they were gozer only on the gush and only to Bitola, and they weren't gozer anything on the avir. Then the Rabbanan of the Shmonim Shana, they made it more chomer. So the gush, you can burn truma, and avir, airspace of truma, your tailor. Yeah, but that's still no good, because there were actually three different stages of this gezerah, and you're not leaving us room to explain the three different gezerahs, because we know that it was much later, it was in Usha, after the Sanhedrin, which was after the Churban, and the Sanhedrin was in Golos, and they got to Usha. It says over there that in Usha, they were gozer on the Eretz Ha'amim, because it says in the Mishnah Beferish and Tyrus, Al Shisha Sfeikot Sorfimat HaTrumah, there are six things that you would, even mitzad asafik, you would burn truma. One is al safik beit hapras. So we're not sure, an area where we're not sure that a grave might have been dug under there, be present in there. Al safik afar haba mi eretz ha'amim. If you're not sure whether the there is a bone in a piece of solid piece of earth. I mean, it's soft. They weren't gozer, apparently, because it would have been nicker if there would have been an etzem there. So the type of suffix that is engendered by the presence of a piece or a clod that comes from Eretz Ha'amim, on the suffix that's engendered by coming into contact with Bigdei Hama'aretz, which we explained before, where we have to be machmir that it could be his wife sat down on it and she was tameya, al suffix kelim hanimtzaim, where you find kelim lying around, it's very possible that they had been tameim, and al suffix harokin, you find some spit which may have come. You don't know where it came from, so it might have come from a Zav or Zava. Because of that, we consider all spit, min Rabbana, to be machmer on it as an avatuma, and therefore if truma would come into contact with that, you'd have to burn it. Ve'al safek mei ragle adam. And also, if you find urine, and you don't know for sure whether it's even urine from a human. So if it would be urine from an animal, obviously there's no problem. If there's urine from a human, then you have the same suffix that you have with the rokin. So because even if you have suffix, whether something is a human urine and it's nearby to animal, to something that is known to be from an animal, which you would have thought, so I could be makel on that because I know that there's definitely animal urine here. Nonetheless, they were gozer, but they were gozer only on vadai maga'an. Any of the above things that you definitely touched, which is the suffix of the tuma, and they said on all of these cases, sarfin et ha truma. Rabbi Yossi says, even if it's a suffix berishus hayochid, remember that suffix tuma berishus hayochid, we're machmer to treat it as a vadai. Whereas the Chachomim say, in rishus hayochid, we're tolim. In Rishus HaRabim, it's completely tahar. What does this have to do with what we said? Because Ula explained this Mishnah that the Tuma here, these six cases that they were mitaken, was in Usha. So you see from here that Eretz Amim is a Gezerah from Usha. That was the first one in the list. Not by the Rabbanah of the Shimonim Shana, which was before the Korban, and certainly not earlier than that, which is Yossi Ben Yoezer, and so on. So obviously there's more to it than we thought. So we're going to have to list three stages in order to account for the three separate groupings. Ella, Atu Inu, Yossi, and Yossi came, and they were gozer to be Taylor, Gush, no gezer whatsoever on the Avir. The Rabbanan of the Shmonim Shana, they were gozer even on the Avir, but still only Litlot. And then in Usha, much later, they were gozer even to be soref on the case of the Gush, and they didn't make any change in the din of Avir. Now, the other thing, that was talking about Eretz Ha'amim, but we didn't discuss the thing about Zchuchit yet. And as far as Zchuchit, up until now, we've been giving you the reasons for this Gezerah. I'd like to understand why they made a Gezerah to make glass Tameh. So Omer, this most suggests we should say Omer Reish Lakish, not Omer Reb Yochan, in the name of Reish Lakish, which is a bit strange. So the whole of it, Chilad B'riyatan Menachol, since glass is manufactured from silicon, which is essentially a form of earthenware, so the Rabbanan said, so for all intents and purposes, people are going to get confused with this, if you take it from sand, if you take it from dirt. So they gave it the same din as Kli Cheres. Says the Gemara, if they gave it the same din as Kli Cheres, then you shouldn't be able to put it into a mikveh. So how in the world, I mean, Kli Cheres can't be b'tam in a mikveh. The only way it can be b'tam Kli Cheres is by breaking it. Why does it say then, beferish in the Mishnah mikvos, alamatnan, ve'elu kotzitzin bakelim, the following things, if you've got any of it on a kli, it is going to be a chatzitza, and you can't put that kli into the mikveh to be b'tam it. Hazefet v'amor b'kleis chochit, a piece of tar, or musk, if you have been, you know, big machlokas about more, if that is on glass, because on glass, the other things are not really problems. Normally, a thing would be like a piece of dirt or something, but that washes right off a glass if you put it in the mikveh. But obviously, zefet does not. So, but in any event, but you see from here, if we're discussing what a chatzitza is for glass, then obviously you could put glass into the mikveh. But if you're telling me that glass is a form of cheres, it's ridiculous to talk about going into a mikveh. Well, says the Gemara, maybe what we're talking about over here is actually glass that had a hole in it, and then you put some lead into the hole in order to melt the lead onto the glass so that now that it would become usable again. And therefore, if you hold like Rabbi Meir says that the din of a kli is defined by that which makes it usable in the end, since over here lead is metal, so therefore we gave it a din of metallic kalim. And because of that, it could be put into a mikveh, because the Tanya, klei zchuchit shenikvu, if there was a hole in a glass, hitif letochan avar, and you put lead into it, Omer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Meir said that it is considered to be tamei, and because now it's called a matechet, klei matechet, v'chachamim are metarim, because they say it's not called metal, and it doesn't have any new, it isn't anything, because as far as it's being cheres, it was already broken. So according to this, it's completely tahar. Okay, this is Rashi's approach. Those of you who have been learning Kalim will recognize the problems with this approach. But again, we'll leave it at that, because it's certainly not central to our learning.